Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
And good morning, Mike Dorner with you. It's sunny outside, just got brighter in the studio. Michelle Perry with Learn New Mexico here is with me. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Mike. How are you on this sunny day?
It's Thursday, the sun's shining, it's almost Friday.
It's a good day.
And then I'm sleeping in on Saturday.
Then
I got a remote on Saturday, but that's all right. So a lot of things going on. The hubby's still up north. You're
right.
Still working hard down here.
That's
a lot
right.
of things happening. And we're going to be talking about Learn New Mexico and the latest advancements in educational technology. So we've gone beyond the blackboards and the chalk and the nuns with the rulers cracking across your knuckles.
I think you just gave us a good picture of your childhood classroom. Yes.
Yeah. I gave you a good picture of my life, too.
So. Oh, man. It's pretty austere in there.
Yes, it is. No doubt about that. So, but technology has come a long way from the first grade readers of Dick and Jane to now. There's not hardly if there's any at all left anymore, hardly a school that doesn't have computers in classrooms.
Right.
And now we're getting into goggles and falling over on your face and
hopefully no falling
hopefully
over.
No falling.
We gotta keep the children safe.
AI and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost I would almost say just like back in the early 1900s, it's another, not an industrial revolution, but it is definitely a technology revolution going on now.
We have entered the age of the technology revolution, and when we think about how technology has extended into every aspect of our life,
mm-hmm.
Of course we would assume it would also extend into our classrooms,
mm-hmm.
And our educational systems around the country and mm-hmm. the world. So let's just start that conversation with your reflection. Aside from chalkboards and desks in your classrooms, as you grew up, what did you consider technology in your classroom?
Oh, I tell you what, one of the first technologies was the Beta VHS player.
There you have it.
To show movies, you
there
know.
There you have it.
And then, of course, in all of that, just growing up from, in radio, I go way back in radio, everything looked like an 8-track cart. You were recording on tape. You were recording on a cartridge. You're playing cartridges. You have great big knobs. And we went to cassettes, to CDs, to now everything's digital in radio,
mm-hmm.
And most of our news now comes in on the web and
mm-hmm.
just all kinds of stuff. So we've seen from a monkey in a centrifuge going up in space to men walking on the moon to rovers on Mars. And now we're seeing this technology even coming into play with portable cell phones. I mean, my God, cell phones, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be bricks. Now mm-hmm. they're almost bricks again. They've almost gotten huge again. So,
well, yes. Those options, yes.
But even people my age have come through a whole lifetime of technology change. But what we're seeing now in the last couple of years and changes in technology almost matches what I've done in the last 50 years.
Well, exponentially.
Yeah.
And that's the revolution, is that initially, if we think back to the 70s and 80s when our classrooms had reel-to-reel projectors, and then the next day, then we had the VHS tape. And
mm-hmm.
then so we were interacting with video, bringing images into the classroom, otherwise had been still on print, on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we had the overhead transparency. So there was this machine, and it would project up mm-hmm. onto a wall or a screen what the teacher was writing, and
mm-hmm.
these transparency papers, and that was some advanced technology.
Yeah.
And here I come. I come as a teacher in the early 90s, and I have no computer on my desk in the early 90s. I have no computer in my classroom. And in, you know, taking attendance, we would do it on paper, and then we would put it on the outside of our door, and some office worker would come by and get it. And then in the early part of my career, I watched a computer land on my desk, and then the simple task of taking attendance became something computerized. And when we did this, it went into some platform that we couldn't see, and that was a marvel of the time. We get so used to that kind of operation using technology now that we don't even give it any credence. You know, we just don't even, we just take it for granted, like our cell phones. You know, the computer, the computing power that's in our cell phone used to take up a room this size. Like that's how far it's come with microchips and the way that we've been able to advance technology, portable technology. And so here we are. I was an educator without a computer. Now I train educators with not only a one-to-one device for each child in their classroom, but usually they have multiple devices themselves as educators. They'll have their desktop. They may have a laptop. Then they may have also an iPad or a tablet. And then we see other devices coming in to the classroom that are starting to arrive now, and that's what you mentioned with the goggles, the head-mounted displays. And I know in Silver City, their schools and probably other schools across the state are starting to use those head-mounted displays as part of their educational tools. And so we're starting to look at devices not as a luxury but a necessity. So whereas the blackboard and chalk and books and pencils were a necessity prior to 1990, now one-to-one devices and other technological advancements are a necessity in our classroom today.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see this. So let's talk about, you know, what we just talked about, some of the things that they've got in the classrooms now. We expect this to even exponentially change in the next 10 years. But how does this translate into education? How does this help the child in education? You know, a friend of mine that's a teacher, actually, it's my nephew. It's funnier than heck. They're using this. He said, the greatest thing about the goggles, the one-to-one, or the goggles, that technology, he said, I got them all on those things, and I can sit there and make faces at them. And they don't even know. So that's my nephew for you. But anyway, so, but how does this translate into knowledge and skill in the classroom? What does this do for the child to move them forward in life and work and everything else?
Well, you know, that's a very core question, and that's a question that I will continue to assess and look at. And the here's the thing is the answer continues to evolve. The thing is that it really comes down to the teacher. I've always believed the effectiveness of the instruction comes down to what gets taught in that classroom setting and how it gets taught. So we're talking about strong content, content that's actually going to help children master learning to specific skills, whether it's math, whether it's language arts, whether it's science or whatever have you. That teacher's got to have some good content. But then as equally important is how it gets delivered. And so now this is where the technology comes in. Because the couching, the methodology of actually delivering the content to the child is now housed in this technology. So a teacher may choose to use a book or a worksheet or a workbook, God forbid. And they may say, here you go, read this, and then now you're going to have a knowledge base of information. So let's take an example of a science book. Okay, remember, science books traditionally in our classrooms were these thick, you know, hardcover books used year after year after year. Well, these are almost now obsolete.
Yeah, but they had great pictures, though.
Well, now
of taking a caterpillar apart.
But now now we don't need those pictures because now I can put a an actual video in front of the student, or a video clip in front of the student, and they can actually see it in motion, in real time, perhaps. We, with web casting, web videos, you know, these, our world has just considerably shrunk. So using a caterpillar example, you know, perhaps there's a monarch butterfly in Boston this morning who is taking, you know, that spring opportunity to come out of its cocoon and shed its chrysalis. And here's our kids in southern New Mexico, and maybe we can now view video, a live feed stream of that. And so you see now it's advanced in that we are able to have live action streaming. We are able to appreciate the scientific elements, that this content, in a way that we were never able to interact with it before. And when we even take it a step further and we go into a three-dimensional environment, which I call interactive virtual reality, and then now the student, it can actually take a scalpel in their hand, which obviously is their controllers, but they're inside this immersive virtual reality, and they can actually do a dissection for a science lesson, never having touched a real animal or held a real scalpel, but they can do it virtually. So we went from this period of time where the content was housed in the pages of a book to now the content is housed in a virtual space which feels real. And that immersiveness is really what helps our anybody, students, adults, anybody, retain learning. And then that also becomes very motivating for the learner to be able to interact with their learning.
Well, the fastest way to the brain is through the eyes, the nose, and the mouth.
All senses.
Yeah, all senses and stuff. So, but with all this technology, it still does not replace the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic. I mean, you got to have those math skills, those reading skills, just to operate this stuff.
Well, absolutely. And again, it comes down to the two sides of one coin, the content. So you're talking about content. When you say reading, writing, and math, you're talking about content.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a kindergartner, this is the letter A. Right? And this is how it sounds. So how do I deliver that content? Well, I can do it a lot of different ways. I can put a letter chart on my wall and point to the letter and say, this says A. Everybody say A, apple. See this apple? This goes with A. We can do that, which is a fine way to instruct. It's what we've done for hundreds of years. However, we could also use videos to demonstrate this same concept in a way that is engaging, and go a step further, do an immersive reality. Not that I'm advocating putting young children in headsets, but right now, like, you know, let's just take that example and apply it to the, you know, World War II. So here is a social studies teacher who's trying to teach the cause and effect of World War II on the global scale. But now they can actually use YouTube VR, put the student in a headset, and now they are actually at Normandy.
Wow.
They are there. They're able to see the beaches where our troops landed. They're able to actually feel the environment around them. And so that brings that knowledge, that love, that content to a whole new level, to where the student can then expand further. And then that's my other whole soapbox here is it's one thing to teach. It's another thing to really engage a learner to expand their own thinking and to challenge their own understanding.
Now, when you talk about, let's talk about Normandy Beach. When you're talking about Normandy Beach, we're showing them the beach, we're showing them the history of it, but are we actually putting them in the midst of the battle?
I mean, could be.
Wow.
I mean, it just depends on what content is out there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody's developed that content, then absolutely, you know, I mean, then like Civil War content, you've seen those reenactment videos, right?
Yeah.
They still actually do real reenactments of Civil War battles. And so, like, you know, perhaps there is an opportunity where someone had made that content and you go into the headset and you're actually there watching the battle transpire three-dimensionally.
Yeah. Wow. That's...
That's so you bad. you see that content yeah. still exists. So mm-hmm. you know, when we say basics, well, nobody's saying let's get rid of basics at all. Everybody's just saying, well, now how do we teach the basics in a different mm-hmm. way that's appealing, that's motivating, and then expands the thinker. And it's not enough that we teach knowledge. It's not enough anymore. We have mm-hmm. to teach students to think. We yeah. have to teach them to critically think and creatively problem solve. So it's just beyond knowing dates and times and events and people's names. It's beyond that. It's about understanding how the effect of World War II or whatever the content is actually still shows up in our daily life today.
Yeah.
And then now how is that going to show up in our future, and what do we do to make this world a better place?
You said one key phrase there, problem solving. Now, I'm not talking about solving what's 32 divided by 15. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real life applications. This is what is going on. How do we correct this? What can we do better with this?
Right.
When you're working on your computer, having problems with getting this thing to do this thing, how do you get from this point to that point in problem solving? Problem solving is almost, in my books, a daily act of life.
Oh, most certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, just even being able to handle frustration levels. Yeah. You know, I mean, even teaching kids that there's this term called productive struggle. And being able to teach kids to overcome productive struggle, that struggling is okay, and that we need to be confounded by problems. Lord knows, as we continue to evolve as human species on this earth, we are going to have problems of a magnitude scale. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just take one, water.
Yeah.
You know, we live in the Southwest where we know water is an extremely delicate resource. Mm-hmm. What are we doing to make sure that in 500 years from now we still have water? Mm-hmm. These are the kinds of problems our kids are going to have to solve mm-hmm. and continually solve, because new problems will arrive. And so then that segues us into artificial intelligence, because when you say problem solving, artificial intelligence is part of that solution. And so how do we now operate in a world where I can use an app, ChatGPT, for example, and I can ask it to chart human DNA? And I don't need to go to a book. I don't need to go to a video. It does that automatically, like within seconds. It's going to chart DNA for me. And then I can also ask it, give me a code for a website that delivers radio productions. Mm-hmm. And it'll write you code like that. So are we replacing jobs? And the answer to that is, yeah, I can tell it to write me a blog. I'm a marketing person, and I work for a company whose, you know, one of my responsibilities for this company is to write blogs and do blog posting. I can put the topic into ChatGPT and tell it to write a blog, and it's done, like within seconds. Mm-hmm. So what's happening now? And so now we have to change our thinking. And that means also in the classroom. Mm-hmm. We have to change our way that we approach our work tasks. So as the marketing agent, now my task isn't necessarily to just create new content. My task now is to evaluate content and make sure that content meets the needs of my company, to make sure that there's a good voice structure in there, to make sure the facts that it has produced are correct. So now it's a different mindset about what I do as a marketing person. Same as a student. So my teacher tells me to write a 3-paragraph essay on the life cycle of a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
I go to ChatGPT, third grade, right? I go to ChatGPT and I say, write me a 3-paragraph essay on the life cycle of a butterfly. Done. Done. The task is done. So now our teachers are tasked with this problem. Things have changed now, because you're not going to get around that. You're right. Not going to stop that. Mm-hmm. So now how do we change the learning opportunity for that child? How do we expand what now we're asking our child to do something different? Now we're asking that student to not just write something, we're asking them to critically analyze it, to evaluate the sentence structure, to evaluate the paragraph structure, to ensure and double check that the facts presented are correct, to cite the resources, to actually cite that this was created in EI. See, so now it's a whole different conversation about writing.
Right. Yeah. So, all right, I've got to ask this question when it comes to AI. Whatever topic you type into AI, where does it get its information from to put that together?
So it depends on the model. Most of them are called language learning models. And what there's two theories here. One is that AI gets its intelligence from the 100 million entries on the website. Mm-hmm. So we have the World Wide Web. And so it'll scour the entire World Wide Web and then pick pieces up from keyword phrases. So you can think of like little spider bots. So little spider bots crawl. You put a query in and it crawls out and it collects data from this entire mass of all the web pages, all the social media posts, all the information, Wikipedia, la 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 la, all this information. But A, ChatGPT is a language model. And so every time you put a query in, it goes and seeks the language associated and it pulls out from those words and it self instructs. And so like Bard is basically the ChatGPT version for Google now. And Bard goes out and it searches all of the language, whether it's verbal, whether it's written, spoken or written, and in every language, every language across the world. And it will self-learn. And that's where we're at right now, is our AI is self-instructed so much that it's building its own bank of knowledge now.
Wow.
And so the more and more we query, the more and more it learns.
Wow.
And so now don't for a second think AI is something new. Because, you know, if you have a cell phone and you go to type a text and it autocorrects,
yeah,
that's been around a long time. Mm-hmm. That's AI.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have a Netflix account and it pops up some recommended for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's AI.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if AI is a new thing. It's just now recently it's been released to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're teaching AI. As a human species right now, every time we do a query, we're teaching it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna self-learn.
Wow. I could spend a lot of time asking questions about AI because I had some critical thinking on AI.
Right.
You know, I don't trust it yet. So.
Well, and I think that's wise. And I think it's important for me. I look at it like this. I try not to judge and just observe.
Mm-hmm.
And so what that means for me is like I always know there's two sides to every topic.
Right.
And especially when it comes to technology. Mm-hmm. And you know I'm a technology enthusiast, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to educational technology. It's like my life. And so I have a very keen sense of skepticism if a teacher tells me their solid and one and only tool is to use technology,
mm-hmm.
because they're leaving out a lot of other modalities of learning. So yes, skepticism exists on a broad scale, but I still find that there is usefulness, and I still find that there's always going to be a balance with mm-hmm. technology versus what I call face-to-face. Or, you know, human interaction.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny because people my age, and I know I'm quite a bit older than you, people my age, we went from the cell phone, and then we got the flip phone, the simple phone, and it took an act of God to get us to switch to smartphones, you know. And then we get into the smartphones. You got your wife saying, I'm sticking with the simple. I'm not doing that. And then 5 years later, I'm on a smartphone now, mm-hmm. you know. So it took us a long time to make these adjustments.
Right.
So thank God these kids aren't my age.
Well, and just think about your evolution as yeah. a user of a cell phone. Mm-hmm. And then it sped up there in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now you have a smartphone, whereas, you know, how long did it take you to finally switch to that smartphone? How long did you have an analog phone?
Mm-hmm.
Probably longer than you've had a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's just going to rapidly increase now.
Yeah.
Now it's just exponentially going faster and faster.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids who are, you know, third grade today, our kids across the country who are sitting in third grade classrooms across our country right now, were born into a world that this technology was all around them. We call them digital natives. Mm-hmm. This technology was around them. They didn't have a learning curve. They literally were born into this world where AI exists. And now they're going to learn quicker, faster, differently. They have to than we did.
You know, it's something when you think about these children that were just born into this. When they get older and have children, what are they going to be born into?
Yeah. On it goes. Yeah. We didn't start the fire, right?
Right. That's it. That's a great song, too. Billy Idol. Yeah. And, that's definitely what happens and stuff. Well, I tell you, Michelle, we could spend a lot of time on this. Maybe we might have to revisit this, because I'd rather talk about this more than go to the next one next time when we talk about the impact of COVID on education and online learning.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have to say these two topics are intertwined.
Oh, do they?
Yes, very much. COVID was really what hit teachers square between the eyes about their abilities. Teachers' abilities and their literacy using virtual instruction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all had these things called Google Classroom. You know, we had this platform and these things called Chromebooks. And we all knew about it. You know, as educators, we had this idea about it, and we kind of, you know, a surface level knew the benefits of using that technology. And then when COVID hit and we had to go full virtual, it's a whole different style of teaching.
Yeah.
That's a whole different way you approach your instruction versus face to face. And our teachers were not prepared.
Yeah.
And it was a hard lesson to learn. Yeah. Should we never, ever be caught in that again?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think we will be again now. I think we've learned a lot. At least look at it this way. If another pandemic comes along, we know what to do.
Well, at least, at least instructionally for our students, yes.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, me, I'm just going to go, okay, fine. So just move on. So that's the way that I am. But fascinating discussion this morning. And I tell you what, like I said, we could spend a lot of time on AI.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm a dummy when it comes to it, and it scares the living daylights out of me.
Well, and don't let it scare you so much that you don't, you can't break it. You know, play with it. See what it does. Go to ChatGPT, search that out in your search engine, and then type a query into it. I had to write a business plan for a client recently, and so I wrote, describe me a business plan for blah, 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 with this, you know, product in mind, blah, blah, blah. And in 2 seconds, it was done.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I went in and edited and made it unique to
there
my
you
client.
Go. There
right,
you go.
Of course. But the hardcore work was done in a second.
Wow. Fascinating. Fascinating. Well, I can't wait till next time. We got a month to leave you all in suspense what it's going to be like next month. So, Michelle Perry, Learn New Mexico. People want to find out more about Learn New Mexico, how they get a hold of you.
Okay, so real easy. LearnNewMexico, all spelled out, .com. And my email is Michelle, 2 L's, at LearnNewMexico.com, all spelled out.
There you go. Sounds good. Michelle Perry, Learn New Mexico. Always, she may not know that she's teaching, but I learn something from her every time.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 KEDU Ruidoso.